Please open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians chapter 1 in your Schofield Bible, page 1249. We're reading the first six verses of this chapter. We'll read the verses responsively. And let's stand, please, as we always do, for the reading of the Word of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And let's pray. Father, we're once again at a point in the week when we're privileged to be in a place where your word is preached. Most of us here are used to coming to this place. We come here week by week. We're refreshed. We're strengthened. We're blessed. And this beyond measure. Thank you for this great church. So we pray for those who often come, and we pray for those who are visiting. We pray that you do a work in each heart. We pray that the word would be that which is not only received but used by those who hear it today. And we pray for power and thy blessing upon our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning I'm going to speak on the subject. It doesn't sound like it's a very spicy subject, but I'm calling it simply the doctrine of election. The doctrine of election. Or shall I say the doctrine of predestination? I guess as long as there's been have been churches, there have been people arguing about whether or not we choose God or God chooses us. There are those who believe in what we call hyper-Calvinism, total depravity and unmerited favor and limited atonement and irresistible grace and perseverance of the saints. It's a, use the word tulip, and for that. And they believe that, that Jesus died just for some people, didn't die for all people. He just died for the elect, and that he has chosen those who are going to be saved, and he's chosen some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. Then there are those who believe that a person has to choose himself, that he goes to heaven or hell on the basis of choosing himself, but that he can choose to come and choose to get out and choose to come and choose to get out. He can choose to be saved and choose to be unsaved and choose to be saved and choose to be unsaved. And then there are those who believe that a man chooses once and for all to be saved, and God elects him then into his family, and but the person makes the choice, and then the salvation is all of God except the choosing, the acceptance of the gift of God. This morning I want to talk to you about the doctrine of election. Now before I pray and preach, I do want to say this. I am a very practical preacher. Most all of my sermons have practical application. I rarely ever preach a sermon about what we're going somewhere. This morning we're not going anywhere. We're just going to drive around town. That's all we're going to do this morning. Every once in a while, I think you ought to stop making money to count and see how much you have. And this morning, we're just going to look at our assets for a while. But we ain't going nowhere. We're just going to drive around town. And we're going to drive in the nicer sections of town, too. We're not going to drive in the slums. We're going to drive in a high-class place, you know, where you and I don't live. But we're going to drive today just around town. And I want you to follow me. It's a wonderful, wonderful subject. The doctrine of election. Our Heavenly Father, I come now to the preaching of this wonderful book. I pray you to help me as I preach it and as we share it together to rejoice in our position in Christ, and may some come to that position today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to use our Bible this morning quite a bit, so get your Bible out, hold it in your hand, and I want you to turn to several scriptures with me throughout the sermon today. Now once you've done that, don't open them, just leave them right there, and I'll tell you where to open them in just a few minutes, and look right this way, please. God gave me a choice. Are you listening? God gave me a choice. He told me that I could choose heaven or I could choose hell. That's up to me. He said, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So it's a matter of the will. If I will, I can go to heaven. If I won't, fellows on the front row, wake up here, son. Wake up. Wake up. We're having church here. If you're going to sleep, go upstairs and get you a nice place and lay down and go to sleep. But I want you to hear me now. The will, whosoever wills, go to heaven. Whosoever wants, go to hell. Now, God gave me a choice, heaven or hell. Now, I'm not very smart, but I'm smart enough to know what to choose on that. I mean, if I got a city of golden streets over here, and over here a city where you burn forever, I'm not real smart, but I'm smart enough to know which one to take. So I exercised by my own volition to accept God's gift of heaven, and I was saved. I chose heaven over hell. And by the way, look at me now. Pay attention. Quit looking to the disinterested. Pay attention now. Look at me. That's your choice too. If you go to heaven, you'll choose to go to heaven. If you don't go to heaven, you will have chosen not to go to heaven. You will have chosen to go to hell. It's your choice. Now, God looked down through prophecy and foreknew that I would trust Him. He did not determine that I would trust Him, but God knew what I would do, because God can see the future. So God looked down and saw the future. This is before there was ever a world, before there was ever a tree, before there was ever a mountain, before there was ever a valley, before there was ever a river, before there was ever an ocean, before there was ever a flower, before there was ever a bird, before there was ever a fish, before there was ever a beast in the field, before there was ever a man on earth. God looked down by His foreknowledge and saw that Jack Hiles would, in August of 1937, receive Christ as his Savior. Now, follow me carefully. He did not elect me, I elected Him. But when God saw that I elected Him, now hear me carefully, bear in mind, I only chose to go to heaven and not to go to hell. That's what I chose. But God decided, elected, if you please, to give me even more. That more that I receive is by His own election. I elected or chose, that's what the word means, I elected or chose to receive Christ as my Savior. And because I did, I'm going to heaven. But God said, surprise, surprise, I got other things for you too. I'm going to give you something else. And God has elected these other things for me in addition to my going to heaven. Now, some people have changed it and cheapened it and taken just a few words of certain scriptures where God said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Where God said, I've predestinated you. They've taken those little words out of the scriptures and said that God predestinated some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. That God chose some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. Now this morning we're going to investigate those scriptures and see exactly what God chose. I want you to look at the favorite scriptures of the fatalist, if you please. Those that believe that Jesus just died for some and did not die for others. And that God chose who would go to heaven and who would go to hell. Now my Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, consequently, God has told me that He wants everybody to save, and has left salvation up to the will of the individual. Now follow me very carefully as I do a little explaining. Here is God down here looking into eternity, and God says, look down there in 1937. Look outside the Fernwood Baptist Church in the backyard. They're having outdoor services there. Look at that little boy, Jack Hiles. And God is looking down through His prophetic eye now. Look at me now, through His prophetic eye. And God said,
I see that boy. He's trusting me as his Savior. And by the way, that's all I did was choose heaven. They told me if I could get saved, I'd have a mansion in heaven. I didn't know what a mansion was, but I knew it was better than what we had, what we lived in. And so the preacher said, if you'll trust Jesus, you can have a mansion in heaven. He read that scripture, in my Father's house are many mansions. And the next day, after I got saved, I talked to my buddy, Ben Sanders, and I said, Ben, would you rather have a mansion or a shack? I don't think they have shacks in hell. If they do, they burn up. But I have a mansion or a shack. And Ben said, what's a mansion? I didn't know what it was. I said, I don't know. But that sure beats the houses we live in, Ben. We live in the ghettos. And so God looked down and God saw that I was going to trust Him as my Savior. And God said, now He chose to go to heaven. That's all I chose. That's all I chose. I didn't know in those days about a glorified body. I had no idea I'd get a glorified body someday. With the one I got now, who would want any more? But I did not know there was a glorified body. I did not know I was being justified. Nobody told an 11-year-old boy in the ghettos, God will justify you, and he'll erase your sins. I didn't know he had any books. If he did, I thought he was reading them. I had no idea God had any books. Nobody told me that. All I knew was if I trusted Jesus, I'd go to heaven. If I didn't, I'd go to hell. And that's all you have to know, too. That's all you got to know. You haven't got to learn the catechism. You haven't got to learn the doctrine. You haven't got to go to classes. All you've got to do is know that you're a sinner and Jesus died for you and you decide to go to heaven or hell. It's up to you. That's all you got to know. And you, by the way, can go to heaven and settle it this morning if you'll accept Christ as your Savior. Ah, but there's something wonderful. Turn me down just a tad, fellas. God looked down and God saw that I was going to trust Him. And God said, that young man is taking heaven instead of hell. And what God said was this. God said, I'm going to give him even more than he thought he's getting. That's what election is. Election is, God said, he elected me and elected heaven. Now I am going to, surprise, surprise, I'm going to give him even more. Listen to me. I'm going to give him even more than he thought he was getting. Now let's look at the predestination folks' favorite scriptures. Look to John chapter 15, please. John chapter 15. And I want you to look at it. We'll read it. John 15 and verse 16. Page 1137, if you have a Scofield Bible. John chapter 15 and verse 16. Look at it carefully. Read that verse with me, please. Ready? Ye have not chosen me. Read it out loud, please. Ready? Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now let's stop right there. That's where they stop. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. See there? God chose some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. Well, for your information, that verse is longer than that. So let's read the whole verse starting again. Ready? Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Oh, stop there. Now, let's see what He's ordained us for and what He's chosen us for. All right, read the rest of it. That ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. Now listen carefully. I'm going to tell you what that teaches. God said, you elected me, but there's some things you didn't choose. He said, you've not chosen me, I've chosen you, that ye go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you ask in my Father's name, He'll give it to you. Now, what God is saying is this. God is saying, look at there. That little boy is electing me. And I'm going to surprise him and give him even more than heaven. All he took was heaven. He chose heaven over hell by Jesus. And that's all he took. But God said, I'm going to surprise him. Here's what he said. God said, I am going to let you represent me on earth. Now, I did not say, Jesus, I choose to represent you on earth. I chose heaven over hell. That's all it is. But God said, I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to give you something else. I have elected that you should go and bring forth fruit. What does that mean? I've elected that you should represent me. Hey, you know what I'm doing right now? Do you know what I'm doing right now? I'm preaching to a bunch of sleepy people. That's all I'm doing right now. But you know what I'm really doing right now? I am here on this platform today in the place of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, we beseech you in Christ's stead. Jesus couldn't be here. You know why? He's tied up. He's book solid. You know what he's doing? He's up there representing me. So up in heaven, he's representing me. On earth, I'm representing him. So I'm here today in Christ's stead. People oftentimes say to me, Brother House, why do you get so excited while you preach? Well, you know what I'm doing. I'm representing Jesus. I'm here in his place. I'm the substitute. He's my substitute, and I'm his substitute. I'm here substituting for the substitute this morning. And I'm simply saying, I'm representing Jesus. Do you think I shouldn't do my best? You think I shouldn't get excited about it? You think it shouldn't be a big deal for me? I, a little piece of clay worth $2.98 in chemicals, a little piece of clay held, dust held together by some moisture, I am representing the Son of the living God today. And God said back yonder, when he said, look at there, that boy's taking heaven over hell. That's all I chose was heaven over hell. God said, I'm going to give you some bonuses. I'm going to let you represent me. I have chosen you to represent me. And by the way, that's just not me, that's you too. He's chosen you to represent him. That isn't all. He gave me the privilege of bringing people to him. Bringing people to him. God said, that little boy down there is trusting me. He, through his prophecy, looked down, look at me now. Through his prophecy, looked down. That little boy is trusting me. And he said, that little boy down there, he's choosing heaven instead of hell. And he's going to get heaven too, by the way. But I'm going to give him more. I'm electing to let him represent me, and I'm electing to let him bring people to me for eternal life. Man, what a thrill. Man, what a privilege. I am privileged to represent Jesus Christ, and not represent him, but to bring men to him. That isn't all. He said, I'm electing that little boy down there and everybody else that elect me, I'm electing them to train those people that come to Jesus. That your fruit should remain, John 15:16. So what'd he say? He said, I am electing, he's choosing heaven instead of hell. But I'm going to give him some bonuses. Surprise, surprise, I'm going to give him bonuses. I'm going to let him represent me. I'm going to let him bring folks to me, and I'm going to let him train my people. Hey, folks, we shouldn't have to say to you, oh, you ought to go soul winning. You ought to go soul winning. Or you ought to teach your Sunday school class. Or you ought to have a bus route. You ought to be jumping up and say, hey, when can I get a bus route? When can I get a Sunday school class? When is soul winning time? Why? I'll tell you why. You have been chosen, elected by Jesus to represent him, bring folks to him, and train his people. How fortunate you are. That isn't all, he said. I got something else for that little boy down there. That little kid in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas, I got something else for him. He just chose heaven. Son, I'm going to give you a few bonuses now that you're here. I'm going to let you represent me. I'm going to let you bring folks to me. I'm going to let you train those that come to me. That isn't all. I am going to give you access to me. He said that what you ask in my Father's name, he'll give it to you. Now look, folks, if God saved you and took you to heaven, that's enough if you never saw Jesus. If you never got to talk to God, it's enough to get to heaven. But God said, not only is the boss going to save you, but the boss is going to let you talk to him. He is going to do more than give you heaven. He's going to give that little boy down there in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas the privilege of having access to the Creator of the universe. Why don't you shout? I'm saying that's bonus. That's what election is. These poor benighted people. God has chosen. Brother, I don't serve a God wants anybody to go to hell. I don't serve a God plays favorites. My Bible said God is no respecter of persons. God didn't elect some to go to hell. You elect to go to hell. You elect to go to heaven. But God says you choose heaven. I've got some bonuses for you. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. That you should represent me, that you should bring folks to me, that you train my people, and that you have access to God. People say to me, Brother House, did you really talk to Ted Williams, a baseball hero? Yeah, in Island Rota, Florida. Brother House, did you really witness to Ted Williams? By the way, it's been pretty important the last few days. He's had a stroke, 75 years of age. Brother House, did you really witness to Ted Williams? Yeah, I did. The Ted Williams? Yeah, he got to talk to the Jack Hiles too. The Ted Williams? Yeah, yeah. Did Ted Williams, the Ted Williams, get saved? Did he bow his head and pray the sinner's prayer? Yeah, 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 he did, huh? Yeah. Did he say he was saved? Yeah. Did you see any signs of the evidence of salvation? Yeah. He put his kids in a Christian school. Yeah, yeah. Brother Hiles, did that hand shake the hand of Ted Williams? Yeah, yeah. Hey, Brother Hiles, did you really talk to Harry Truman one day on an airplane? Yeah, uh-huh, yeah. Harry Truman and I talked to each other. He bragged on it all the rest of his life. Yeah. Brother Hiles, did you really have a conversation on the airplane with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Yeah, I had a conversation with his kneecap. Did you really talk? Yeah. Uh-huh. Brother Hiles, did you really talk to Oprah? No. I sat on the plane across from her and said howdy to her. She asked for my autograph. But listen, I got better news. Hey, Brother Hiles, did you go to the White House? Yeah, yeah. Did you meet the President of the United States? Oh, yeah, yeah. It was Carter at the time. He said, Brother Hiles, did you eat with President Carter? Yeah. What did you eat? Peanuts. Did you really eat with President? Yeah. Did you talk with President Carter? Oh, yeah. Talked to him several minutes. Yeah. Did you talk to Vice President Mondale? Yeah. But I can beat that 10 million to 1. This morning I talked to who created Mondale and created Carter. I talked to the creator of the universe this morning. And God said, I could take you to heaven without you ever seeing me, without you ever talking to me. But he said, I got some bonuses for you. You elected me as Savior. You elected heaven. I'm electing to help you represent me. I'm electing to let you bring folks to me. I'm electing to let you train my people. I'm electing to give you access to myself. That's what election is. What it says right there. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you, that you go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain. Whatever you ask in my Father's name, He'll give it to you. That's what He chose you for. Now turn, please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Their second favorite scripture. Verse number 29. Page 1202. For whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate. I'll hold it there. There it is, right there, they say. Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. You listen to me? Well, let's read that. Verse 29, ready? For whom He did, out loud, ready? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Let's stop there. Well, that's it. That's it. But it does not say He predestinated you to go to heaven or hell. Let's look at the rest of it. Read the whole verse, and I won't stop you this time. Ready? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, what is He saying there? He's saying, those who elected Me, I'm electing or predestinating them, that someday they'll be raised from the dead. Nobody told me I'd be raised from the dead. Nobody. When I trusted Jesus, I didn't say, thank God I'll be raised from the dead. I wasn't planning on dying. I was like that little blind boy that came to First Baptist Church Hammond, sat right over here one Sunday night, and the music was pretty, and everybody was laughing, everybody was happy. The little blind boy looked up and he said, is this heaven? And somebody said, no, son, this is First Baptist Church. Why do you think it's heaven? Well, he said, they told me if I'd come out here that I could go to heaven if I'd come to First Baptist and trust Jesus, and I did. And I thought maybe this was it. That's sort of what all of us thought. But God said, hey, son, down there in the future, I see you by my foreknowledge. I see you electing me. I'm electing you to represent me. I'm electing you to bring folks to me. I'm electing you to train my people. I'm electing you to have access to me. And I am electing you to be raised from the dead. And all he said, he said, I'm electing you to be raised from the dead, and I'm electing that you'll have a new body. A new body. Boy, thank God for that, right? A new body. Roy, what happened to you? Have you seen this eye? Look at that choir. Look at that. Let me see your fist, JoJo. Boy, you got a real black eye. Ran to a door, didn't you? Ran to a door. Had five fingers on the door, too, didn't you? But hey, folks, do you hear what I'm saying? God said, you elected to go to heaven, you elected to go, and I'm going to give you more. I am going to give you a body someday that'll never have pain, never have sorrow, never have disease, never get tired, never be weary, never sin. God said, surprise, surprise. I'm giving you more than you asked for. That's all election is. God said, you chose to elect me, and I'm electing to give you more than you ever asked for. Said right here, he predestined us to be conformed in the image of his son. Well, yes, that means we're supposed to live right. No, doesn't it? He says the firstborn among many brethren. Talking about the resurrection. That means God said, I'm going to give that little boy down there. When I got saved, folks, I had 40 warts on that hand right there. 40 warts on that hand. Now I got 100. They call them deacons. But I had 40 warts on that hand right there. I was the runt of the church. I was a nervous kind of a kid. I was poor. We were hungry. Lived in a little shack of a house. And God said, if you'll trust me, you'll go to heaven. I elect to go to heaven by trusting Jesus. And God said, surprise, surprise. One of these days, you're going to have a body that doesn't have any warts on it. One of these days, you're going to have a body that's resurrected, a glorified body. That, no, it's going to be just like the body of Jesus Christ. You're going to see me in heaven one of these days, my glorified body. Walk down the street, and you're going to look at me and say, good morning, Jesus. I think that was Jesus. I'm going to say, no, it's Brother Hiles. We look a lot alike. Yeah. Won't you shout? I'm saying God said, I've got more. And that's what election is all about. All you got to do is read the rest of the verses. Predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. God said, I'm going to give you more than heaven. I'm going to let you be like Jesus in a glorified, resurrected body. Let's turn to the other scripture they used, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now read verse 4 with me. Ready? According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Hold it right there. Well, there it is. He chose us before the foundation of the world to get saved in. That is not what the rest of the verse says. It does not say we're predestinated to be saved. It does not say he's chosen us to be saved. It does not say he was chosen before the foundation of the world to get saved. Let's read the rest of it. Look at verse number four again. Out loud, ready? According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Here it is. Ready? Read it. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Look at verse number 5. I'll read it. Having predestinated us. Don't stop. Don't stop there. Don't stop there, you fatalists. Don't stop there, you predestination folks. It has something else. Predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, I predestinated you. First thing it says, that we should be holy and without blame before him. What's he saying? He's saying, you have elected me as Savior. I elect to give you a justification on my books in heaven. Amen. That you should be without blame. I didn't know what justification meant. In fact, when I was ordained to preach, I didn't know what justification meant. They asked me at ordination, what do you believe about justification? I said, I'm for it. I didn't know. I was like the black preacher. They asked him what he preached on procrastination. They said, what does it mean? He said, it's just one of our fundamental Baptist doctrines. I didn't know as a little 11-year-old boy that I was getting justified. I just elected to go to heaven. That's all I did. And God said, surprise, surprise. I'm going to let you represent me. I'm going to let you bring folks to me. I'm going to let you train people, my people. I'm going to give you access to me. I'm going to give you a resurrected body. It's going to be a perfect glorified body. And it's going to be exactly like the body of Jesus Christ. But that isn't all. God said, I am going to write, to erase every sin from your record and refuse to ever write another one. Now, forever in a day, read the rest of the scriptures. Don't let these little two-verse people take one little part of the Bible. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be blameless before Him. Our sins are forgiven and blotted out. That's what election's all about. That isn't all He says. He says, I've also chosen you for adoption. Now, what in the world does adoption mean? You know, I've taught it time and time again. I'll just explain what it means. The word adoption is the word that means majority. It means grown up. On the front row here, we have a little boy. How old are you, son? 7? He's 7. You'd like to be 18, wouldn't you? He really would. He's 7 and going on 8, right? Or 7 and a half. And you ask me how old, I don't say 67 going on 68. I say just past 66. But every boy wants to be a man. And the word adoption means manhood. And if you'll check the Bible, you'll find that it's opposite of the word minor, which means that Paul said in Romans chapter 8 that one of these days we're going to be adopted. He goes on to say, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Every Jewish father, when his boy became 18 years of age, or an adult, he'd bring his boy to a big platform in front of the whole town. The entire town would come to this event. Listen to me now. The entire town would come to this event. This boy, of course, now, Jeff, you're my son here. This is my son, Jeff, the man would say. He would say, Jeff is today an adult. I hereby declare you, Jeff, an adult. And you inherit my wealth. You're in for the disappointment of your life. But you inherit my wealth. You inherit my name. And then, I won't do this, but the father would take off the coat. A minor wore a certain kind of a coat. You could tell it he was under adult age because he wore a certain kind of coat. He'd take off that coat of minority and give him a coat of majority to let everybody know he's now a man. All right, thank you. Now, the Bible says that this body we're minors. We're not adults yet. But we will become adults at the resurrection. We get our new bodies, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. So God looked down and said, there's that little boy down there. Little boy's trying to check what time it is. There's that little boy down there. And that little boy is trusting me. He's going to trust me. And all he's doing is electing heaven. Surprise, surprise. I got something, some surprises for him. Since he's elected me, I am going to elect him to represent me, elect him to bring folks to me, elect him to train those people, elect him to have access to me, elect him to to be resurrected, elect him to have a glorified, perfect body. I'm going to elect him to be like me. I'm going to elect him to be justified with his sins blotted out, and I am going to elect him someday to become an adult, have a body like mine, and walk the golden streets of glory. That isn't all he said. He said, to the praise of his glory. God said, that little boy didn't know it. He just chose heaven. You know how I chose heaven? Because I thought they had indoor toilets. I'm not kidding you. Now, I better explain they don't have to have toilets in heaven. But I was tired of going out there to that outdoor toilet, and there are many inconveniences I will not discuss with you at this time. But I just knew they had indoor toilets in heaven. So I chose indoor toilets instead of outdoor toilets. I mean that. I thought about that. I figured a mansion wouldn't have an outhouse. I chose heaven because I figured heaven had running water. We had a well. I chose heaven so we'd have turn on a faucet and water to come out. I chose heaven because I figured they didn't have wood stoves there. I wouldn't have to chop any wood. I chose heaven because I was tired of kerosene lamps and lanterns, and I figured they had electricity in heaven. Now, you see, with the house, that sounds so menial. A little 11-year-old boy is not really Einstein yet. It took me years to become like Einstein. I just chose heaven. That's all. I just chose heaven. And God said, lastly, surprise, surprise. God said, that little boy right there, he is going to spend eternity praising me. Praising me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what election's all about. You elect to go to heaven instead of going to hell. And God in heaven says you're going to heaven. But I've got some surprises for you. Now that you've elected me for one thing, I've elected you for 10 things at least. I have elected you. And this morning, if you'll trust just Jesus as your Savior, the best thing is you go to heaven when you die and you won't go to hell. You say, I don't believe in hell. Doesn't change it a bit. Doesn't change it a bit. God's Word is always true. His Word lasteth forever. It was before there was ever a world. It'll be after the world has crumbled. It's true. And don't you put your little human mind up against the omniscience of Almighty God. You can choose to go to heaven. Elect Jesus. Elect to go to heaven. That's good enough reason to get saved. Look at me and listen to me. That's a good enough reason to get saved. But there are some bonuses that are marvelous. God will in turn elect you to represent Him. He'll elect you to bring folks to Him. He'll elect you to help train those people. He'll elect you to have access to God. He'll elect you to be raised from the dead. He'll elect you to have a glorified body. He'll elect you to look like Jesus. He'll elect you to be justified as if you'd never sinned. He'll elect you to be adopted as one day an adult in His family. And He'll elect you to praise Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Bible study of what the doctrine of election is all about. And I don't care if you go hear Dr. Mess 'em Up or Dr. Big Brain or Dr. Big Head. I don't care who you hear, brother. He can have PhD, THD, DDT, and BVDs and all the rest of them. But brother, he'll never explain to you any more plainly what election is all about than what I've told you this morning. God said, you elect me for a little bit, I'll elect you for a whole lot. And think of it this morning. You can have that. You can have it. You can walk down this aisle and say, I elect to go to heaven. And God says, you just struck it rich. Because I got a bunch of other stuff I'm going to give you too. You say, what church do I have to join? None. What kind of baptism? Dipping, sprinkling, pouring, dipping 3 times backward, 1 time backward, 3 times forward, 1 time forward, bend your knees and go under. What is it? Not that at all. It is a personal realization that you are a sinner. And a personal awareness that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sins on the cross. And a personal trusting of Jesus on that basis to take you to heaven when you die. And then you have elected heaven. But boy, when you elect heaven, you get ready for a bunch of gift wrap packages to start dropping around where you are. And you'll spend the rest of eternity opening those packages and receiving the things that God gave you as bonuses when you elected Jesus. Would you bow your heads? Hi, Heavenly.